Down to brass tacks.
Hello, David.
Yes, good morning.
Morning. What is your take on the story on the front page of yesterday's Nation?
Which one? What was the story again on yesterday's front
page? The one about the two persons pleading guilty to murder.
I found this a very interesting story. You are concerned about the legal change that will allow them to plead guilty to murder? Is that what you're concerned about? Or are you concerned about the evidence that was led in court?
I'm not concerned about the evidence.
What you tell me what your concern is.
I am astounded that we have an offense on the statute books, and they don't appear to be any deterrent. So aren't we opening in all the floodgates to persons going and committing murder?
Well, you have to look at what has been the practical aspect of this, though. Without the change, we were hanging no people, no persons. We, and everybody in Barbados understands that. The death penalty is basically seen as being in abeyance by people in the country. So let me put it another way. You realize how many people are being eliminated in this country? Yesterday, a man was executed. That was an execution yesterday. All right? Does that stop people from being involved in gangs and crime, killing one another and that sort of thing? It isn't stopping that. There's an assumption that when the state does it, it has a different effect. Do you really believe that the society has remained static and that we are not at the stage now where even if the state does it, it's just another death? And it does not have will not necessarily have the wider deterrent effect that you're talking about. Of course, where that individual is concerned, it will be a deterrent. They can't kill again. But I am just putting that before you because I'm not so sure that it is likely to have the kind of wider effect that some of us thought it did back in the 1960s and the 1970s and even 80s as well. What do you think?
But I am saying, okay, if you knew that if you kill some person, you are likely to lose your life, you would think twice.
About doing what?
Before going and commit murder.
You really think so? Look, I want to say to you that you are thinking like a man who is over 60. But
and I'm 69.
Right. So you need
to... I am saying, okay, if these persons who had committed murder, we had taken action against them, there wouldn't be all this murder, there wouldn't be all this shooting and all that stuff going on.
But action is being taken against a number of the people who...
It's just that...
Who
people
live like that,
tell
you know?
That they could kill you and go up in prison and sit down for as long as they feel like.
But I want to suggest to you that they don't live in as carefree a world as you think. Because when they kill, other people are hunting them. That's what's happening in the country today.
So what type of society do we have here in Barbados?
Many of these Caribbean societies are facing the same problem. We have an increasingly dangerous society. That's our reality.
So the state is not in charge of this society?
The state, in my judgment, has been weakened.
So what is the state doing?
Well, you hear the state
in charge of this society.
You hear the state talking. What does the state tell you?
But they aren't telling me anything. So we can leave the persons out there to settle their own scores? We are just going to sit here on the sideline and watch the people out there take out one another?
Well, the Commissioner of Police of Barbados is charged with the responsibility of giving us a greater sense of safety. And in circumstances like these, the Commissioner of Police is the one that you look to. You expect that that office will come forward and tell us what is being done, what new steps, not new approaches are being adopted. You know, if you don't get that from the office, you're left to feel the way that you feel today. And let's be realistic. We can only call for it when we recognize that there's a need for it. That office, as is happening in the case of Trinidad. Now, people are still being murdered in Trinidad in significant numbers. But you have an approach by the Commissioner of Police there that some people believe is more aggressive, more in your face, more combative in terms of dealing with the challenge that he faces. Our situation here comes across as being a bit more laid back, or much more laid back at times. The question is, what is working for us? And is the laid back approach working? Is it succeeding in capturing the criminal element? But when the people are captured, then it is the court system that has been letting us down. Or are we basically saying that our approach is one of failure? How do you feel? What is your assessment of it?
Well, the what you call about our laid back approach, I think the police are happy when a criminal takes out another criminal, because that is less work for them. And I don't think there's, when a criminal takes out another criminal, I don't think the police are really in any hurry that go and apprehend the other person.
But I want to say to you that increasingly we are in danger of what is called collateral damage. The children at St. Albans are collateral damage today. There was an incident somewhere that, in the not too distant past, where it could have escalated to something really much bigger. And what we have to watch more than anything else is that this is a tourist-driven economy. If we do not stop this bad behavior, it is only a matter of time before it touches the tourism sector in a big way. It is real. You can see what will happen. When men are so eager to go and eliminate another person that they do not care who else is around, do you believe that is going to stop them from going in some tourist area and doing the same thing?
But they are only taking actions against each other. They are not taking... we will become concerned.
But a lot of them can't even shoot well, so the bullets spray all over the place.
The only time we in Barbados will be concerned is when some innocent bystanders are killed or injured. You remember when the guy shot at the people on Kaduma there down on the Spring Garden Highway? The people were concerned because a large number of people were down there, and a lot more could have been injured instead of the one person that they went to take out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for calling. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yeah, morning.
Now, I really need to comment on something you said before you get to my real points. I think about 2 points of what I raised with you.
Mm-hmm.
But you mentioned this thing about going to St. Mary's, and to be honest with you, when I read that statement coming from him, going to St. Mary's, I was more than surprised. And it left me to wonder if he's really condoning this kind of behavior. Because he gave me, I get the impression personally that he believed that no charges should have been brought against the individual. then he said that if it wasn't barbarous, he would not be charged. So it was sort of wondering if he condoned this kind of behavior. But let me go to my point. You have anything to say about before you go on?
No, I think I said what I had to about it already. I indicated that the country as a whole looks bad on this matter.
Correct. And then the first thing that the Democrat Labour Party bring barbarous to this, because if you can remember the serious problems that we have with this thing going all over the world, and now this again, this is the kind of destruction they are bringing to this country.
Well, you see, you will see this exclusively in partisan terms.
They're not partisan, David. I'm speaking realistically concerning barbarous. I mean, this thing go all over the world. It affect not only me, but the people who live in Barbados.
I say to you that I look at it on a national level. I sincerely hope that it has sent a major signal to other people in public life about what can happen. I mean, you know, public life isn't easy. And, you know, today you're up, tomorrow you're down. I remember years ago, the late Lionel Craig would say to me that in politics, you can move from hero to zero in a hurry.
True.
You know? And, you know, it has implications for the family of people, the friends of people, all touched and deeply touched. And part of the reason why you don't get action on some things in this country is because of all of those connections as well. Because politicians may be B or D, but they are all politicians. They all sit in parliament and eat together. They laugh together. Sometimes they are godparents to each other's children and that sort of thing. So these are some of the reasons why it looks as though if you want action on matters, external forces have to work. So it makes Barbados look as though you cannot expect to see anything happen when things go wrong. This kind of perception also extends into areas like the banking areas where we have had this problem with correspondent banking, where the perception is, well, first of all, with that, it is the cost of doing business for the banks. But for me, I've always gotten this underlying message that you can't trust the people in these Caribbean countries because when things go wrong, they do nothing about it.
Sure.
So that to me is the biggest blow to the image of Barbados that we have seen in a long time.
Well, that's why I tell you, no wonder we was getting all this blacklisting all the time. And I remember the last time we got blacklist was under the same minister, Don Villanis, as well. That was the last blacklist, if I can remember.
But the blacklisting was not necessarily about that. The blacklisting was about the competitive element associated with the fact that people in Europe want to do the same business that we do.
But I thought it was also about corruption as well.
Well, they may tell you there is corruption, but they will ask you to put this in place and put that in place. And every time you put something in place, they move the goalposts.
Happening.
All right, because they wanted to make sure that you would not compete with them in their business.
I can understand what was happening there anyway. Now, David, I think I need to bring some humor to you because you opened the program as though you're concerned, and I don't fault you at all because I feel the same way as well. But the things, the happenings in this country, especially what took place yesterday down at the school. But I must tell you, David, I mean, you disappointed me, though.
Oh.
Man, I thought, you hear me say, I thought you were supposed to be my friend.
Oh.
You know, my birthday was the 4th of January. And you, of all people, wouldn't even go over the place that I know and the same place you know, cross the road, and leave a little envelope for me. You know, I would get the envelope if you had left it.
But you know that if you had invited me to have a drink with you of some sort, I would have been put to remember that it was your birthday because I can't remember. I didn't put your birthday in my diary.
But you should have asked. If you had asked over the road, probably they would have told you.
I didn't see your birthday on Facebook. I don't even think that you're on Facebook.
No.
Right. So, you know, if you had reminded me, I would have been able to consider putting the envelope for you. But I must tell you that I think that there are people out there who need that envelope more than you.
I don't think so. I mean, if you leave it, I can still collect it every day, probably next week, Silas.
There are so many charitable causes out there that to give you, to put money in your hands is really to ignore the plight of the poor.
Now, let me go to my point there. But you know, if you don't want to leave the envelope, then do one thing for me. I beg you. I'm pleading with you.
What's that?
You know, there's a song. I think John King sing the song. How Many More? I wish you could play that song for me or send it. So
well, Larry Mears, I want you to play that song for him this afternoon.
you can do it with a little different, slightly different interpretation. Well, but if I remain, it must be some How Many More, sorry.
All right. I hope you had a wonderful birthday.
No, but let me go to my point now. No, David.
Well, you thought your point had been made already?
No, that was for that side. But listen now, on a serious note, very serious note. I listened to Verla DePizzo, the president of the Democrat Labour Party, and she continued again to be blaming the Attorney General of Barbados and the Prime Minister and asking that they need to galvanize something, I don't remember exact words, to get this thing under control. Pray tell me, David, do you honestly believe that the Prime Minister or the Attorney General could control a fellow taking up a gun and getting done a street and shooting someone?
Politicians on both sides of the fence who get caught up in politicizing crime pay a high price for it. And we have already recognized that the existing Attorney General spoke about it when in opposition in such a way that people are now throwing back in his face what he said about the failure of his predecessor. And at the same time, politicians today are running the risk of doing exactly the same thing. Crime has a political input in the sense that there are things that are required, resources are required, and the politicians are supposed to make those resources available. But there's also a component where you have societal change, and sometimes you have to bring people together to examine the factors and forces that are influencing that societal change. Some of it sometimes is driven by unemployment, and therefore creating jobs is part of the solution to that problem. But
now,
deeper than that, you know, you got problems within households. We have some attitudes among people in the country, women and men, that we're creating a lot of friction in the environment. And how are we going to address that? Part of it will require political action, political guidance, raising consciousness and things like that. But it is not all about the politician.
Exactly. You know, I see, to be honest with you, I am sort of comfortable with the measures so far that I see the police and both the attorney general to grapple this thing to the ground.
What are those measures?
The police got some added equipment. They also got added, divisions.
So what are you seeing on the ground? Because I don't see what you see. Getting equipment is not all to the story. It is what is happening out there in the community that is different. Are you seeing something?
I see more vigilant the police concerned when they're going into these communities and searching. I mean, the police can only do that much, David.
Mm-hmm.
They can only do that much, but I can tell you, I've seen a whole set of police on a regular occasion, And I believe that they are going into these nook and crannies of this country where they got where violence almost seems to be rampant. And they are doing their jobs. And they have the support of the attorney general. I think, I don't remember the exact methods or whatever the equipment they put in place, but I know they are doing a lot to assist the police. So that's why I'm concerned when I hear Verla de Pisa come accusing the attorney general or even the prime minister. But you know the problem? Verla de Pisa need to understand that there's other problems within Democrat Leopard that she need to go and look after. And I believe that the former Prime Minister Arabi at this day and now would be kicking water in the Caribbean Sea. Not dust, kicking water. And it's no wonder that the lifeguards are asking people to keep out the water because the kind of ties that we see come in this country and the nonsense that's going on within the Democratic Labour Party, I believe the late Prime Minister Arabi must be very, very disturbed. And they've got the audacity, David. They've got the audacity.
I think that you're very happy.
No, listen to me. They got your dusty note to talk about a week of celebration for Errol Barrow with a church service and other celebrations. I mean, I just don't believe it, David.
All right.
I went to see how many of them were going that church on Sunday or when the service is supposed to be. And I would like the priest to spell out every single thing the late Errol Barrow stands for in the presence of them. Because what happened now...
I really have a difficulty understanding why a man who is such a staunch supporter of another party is so consumed by what happens in the Democratic Labour Party? What does that do for you?
Because they're trying to mislead the people of this country. They need to remind the people of the country what they are doing now. As a matter of fact, the people of Barbados got enough sense to understand and see what's going on in Barbados now under this present Democratic Labour Party.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Thank you. This person writes to remind me that the Barbados Police Force is doing its best and they want to know where is the community support. They say that the community must play their part. But you have to analyze when communities start playing their part and what causes that. If you can see people showing off videos on social media with men carrying AK-47 assault weapons in Barbados, then don't you believe that that is going to intimidate people? When you have shootings like some of those that we have had in recent years, isn't that going to intimidate people? That strikes at the heart of the whole idea of policing and giving information to the police. So if the police have difficulties in intercepting the guns and the shootings are on the rise, then people are also going to retreat. I don't know how you're going to get that changed in Barbados right now. And I think there's a lot of talk on the ground about who is selling the guns. Apparently, the people who are selling the guns aren't the ones who are doing the shootings. And that's a subject that I tell you is being discussed on the ground. On the brass tacks.
Mr. Ellis, a blessed day to you, sir.
Well, I haven't heard you for such a long time.
Yeah, well, I've been just taking a break and, you know, contemplating and meditating and listening. And the only reason why you have not been hearing me, at times are very concerned. And rather than call the program and because you feel a certain way, you may say the wrong things and so on, you wouldn't want to do that. So therefore, you just let things go by, you know, and leave it as it is. I want to say to Barbados, I want to wish them the best for the year, every single household, the best. And because there's no Barbadian that I can think of who are seen would not want the best for their country. None, regardless to whichever administration is in office. Because, Mr. Ellis, if this country does well, we all do well. If this country goes down, we all go down. So it would be only folly on anyone's part to say otherwise than that. But let me say here that that last caller, truth is can be like a big rock. And when you have to speak truth, the reason why people would seek to shout over you or consistently criticize you is because they don't want what you are saying to be exposed to the public. Now, when he is speaking and criticizing Mr. Pisa, Ms. Ellis, you would remember how the former Attorney General were vehemently criticized by Mr. Marshall, and he said that he was doing nothing as far as the crimes and so on is concerned. You remember that very well. And when the former government went into communities and were doing searches and so on, they were criticized and were told that they were doing things illegally. Ms. Ellis, but now here it is, that he went, the Attorney General then, I mean now, criticized to the point where he said the former Attorney General should resign.
Where is this taking us, though?
This is not my point. But I'm just trying to clarify and clear up these things to show you.
Given what is happening in this country at the moment, where does this kind of back and forth about who said what, what does that do for us?
But I want to say to you,
you know how many people I hear express nothing but disgust for that kind of dialogue about national problems. You just can't take it anymore.
But then I'll say this to you.
And that's the same thing I was making to him earlier.
Right.
I mean, where is that going to? Where is he going with that? I mean, how is it that he, as a member of a supporter of one party, could be all consumed by what's happening in another party? Let me make this point. On many occasions, the people who are immersed in politics just do not recognize that there are so many other people who just fed up. They don't like to hear it in those terms. What they don't mind is a focus on a problem and discuss the options, even if those options are those that are presented by a political party, to discuss the pros and cons of the options that are being examined. But we can't fight the crime this way, because the biggest winners are who? The criminals.
The country entirely.
The biggest winners are the criminals. The biggest losers are the people.
Yes. Now, let me go on, because I just mentioned that, by the way, because people need to understand that we're living in Barbados and we all want the best. Because Ms. Verlie Peter has made a point and point out something which was said by when they were heavily criticized then people should expect the same thing in return. Because you can't have it one-sided. And that's why he said Big Rock can do a lot of damage to people. But truth is truth. But let me go on to say it here. I want to give my sympathy to the gentleman, the youngster who was killed yesterday. I think that was very unfortunate that this should happen. But Mr. Ellis, that brings me to wonder.
The video that's been circulating with him on it?
I haven't seen it.
You should ask somebody to show you.
But I want to say here to you that when our country is about to legalize marijuana, drugs as such, what is going to be, has any thought been given? I do not believe that this killing was just a fly-by-night killing. Oh. It had to.
Let's debate that.
All right.
You and I remember the days of, you've heard about the days of prohibition.
Mm.
You will recall when alcohol was banned in the United States, it created gangs. A lot of gangs sprung up, people like Al Capone and people like that. They killed a lot of people. And it was as a consequence of all the bad stuff that came out of the period of prohibition, that prohibition ended. That, in turn, appeared to ease a lot of the killing that was associated with prohibition. Isn't it possible that decriminalizing marijuana can have the effect of reducing these gangs that have sprung up? Now, let me make this point. Having addressed marijuana, that doesn't mean that you've addressed cocaine and meth.
The other stuff.
And all the other stuff.
Yeah.
But it seems as though there is quite a market right now for marijuana. And that market, the demand and the supply, they're all wrapped up in organized crime in Barbados. That is what we have, organized crime. All right? You know, typical Bajan style, we don't like to admit to nothing. We always like to lie to ourselves in denial until something hits us in the face. Then we start to cry, we want action and we want this and we want that. It's organized crime. And I hear the discussion about the marijuana, but I hear no discussion about what impact is it likely to have. We see decriminalizing it taking us in the other direction. What I hear from people like you is that it is likely to create more crime.
Well, let me say this. Well, let me tell you why. Let me. You see, and we are not looking at the more debilitating effect of it. There, and I believe you have heard this, that when you get hooked on that, it leads to other stronger stuff where you mix other things.
All right.
And I mark you.
Okay.
What it does, it turns you into a zombie.
Okay, that's one side of it. But let me also say to you that if you stay with the status quo, you may well breed more gangs. You may well breed more guns. You may well breed more killing.
But Mr. Ellis,
now you have to choose between the person who becomes a zombie and the person who loses their life.
What you're saying is just a perception. That's all we're having.
A perception.
But the reality of it is, look and see what it is doing to the human element in our society. And mark you, if you can get in schools what is happening now, and I think I heard somebody on the radio saying the other day, they know in the primary school. No, if you can get primary school children gravitating towards the marijuana, Mr. Ellis, somebody's going to introduce a greater mix to them. We are destroying the very fabric of our society.
But if you have so many people involved in the criminal aspect of it, losing their lives on a regular basis.
That's not legalizing it. It's not what you do.
What is the answer?
You deal with the criminal.
By doing what?
You deal with the criminal.
The society is failing.
You smoke them out.
The society has failed at that.
You smoke them out. But the society have not in any tremendous way done anything to do with that. All we are having, what we're doing, we're looking at the easiest thing to do by now introducing it. And then, and you know, Mr. Everybody, you've heard that it leads to other stuff. Once you do that, you are destroying the persons. This is all we are doing.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I have a friend who said to me, her boyfriend, she had children for him. He stole her shoes. He was so hooked on the white stuff with it. Everything that he could put his hand on, When he give her money for children, he come back at night and beating her mother's house and keeping it all.
And it's not... And
the mother had to tell her to get up and give...
And it's not legalized, and he's still able to access it.
There you are. Right, so listen, so if you legalize it, Mr. Ellis, well, you are giving free access to the entire society.
One argument that has been presented for decriminalizing it, and of course, since then, a lot has happened in the United States and Jamaica and other places as well. But one of the arguments is that a lot of resources are now put behind trying to enforce the laws relating to ganja in particular, and to some extent the other illegal substances. And that if you go in this direction, you can take those resources and put them elsewhere. That's another side of the argument that has been presented.
And that's, yeah, let me make another quick point. You're there?
Yes.
Yeah. Even though I accept the fact that what the government is doing as far as integrity legislation is concerned, I don't think there's anyone in Barbados who would oppose that. I don't think this. But one of the things that I am very concerned about, and I am not hearing this from either one of the parties, and most of them you know are lawyers, not a single word about legislation in place to stop some lawyers, the profession, from unfairing Barbadians where they are holding on to their monies. Some of them are selling their lands and holding their papers, and nothing is done about it. Not a single word. Now, if we are talking about integrity legislation, you've got to come in. And I tell you, and you know very well, Mr. You've heard, that lots of Barbadians have been complaining for a year. Look, the Bar Association got cases. I heard one prominent lawyer on your program already said, somebody asked him, why doesn't he take up the chairmanship of the Bar Association? And you know what he said? He said, I would not waste my time. He said, I had that position already. He said, I would not waste my time. Because when you are supposed to come to sit down, I mean, people are calling and saying they can't come. They had to postpone. And I know a situation, Mr. Ellis, where a family who has problems now with money that lawyers had belongs to them. Not the same. And not a word, I mean, I believe you are concerned about this, not a word from them about the integrity of their own brethren, their own fellow men, to stop them from doing what they are doing to us. It is sad. Look, I have a friend who lives in the States. He goes and comes quite often. He said, in the States, he said, when a lawyer have money for a client, he is given 3 days to hand that money over to the client. If it's a company, he has a month to hand it over in. I want to see that our lawyers or our government put things in place for even for themselves to stop it from happening. Because then, look, you see, we are looking at one side, but we are not looking at the overall situation where the country has been suffering for years, Mr. Ellis, and still is. And nothing, they're doing nothing. And listen, every one of them, or most of them, are lawyers. Why are they not doing it, Mr. Ellis? Can you tell Barbadians? Well, I don't think you could. But I just wonder.
Okay.
The question is, and I know you can ask questions. And when you get one of them, ask them this question. Why is it there ought to be a penalty such as interest accruing?
I wouldn't say held on to people's money. There was a case which went the distance in relation to a particular client. So I think we need to be correct on that, you know. All right, sir. Thanks for calling. Down to brass tacks.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, I too, like you, I'm feeling kind of like the clouds are ominous, you know, and they're hanging so very low around us. And it can be very good for our morale, you know. But however, I want to talk about a couple of things. I heard a caller ask this morning, what is the state doing about the shootings and so on? But how does the state know what scores these people have to settle? Now, we all know that the cause of all of these shootings are the easy access and availability of guns and shots. And another thing about it is, what do we do when we get these boys, girls, whoever, before the court? Sometimes they go up there and they spend a couple of weeks and they come back down and they repeat themselves again. So we need to start with this concurrent sentences for a lot of these cases and use consecutive, because it is not doing us any good. They're going up there and they're coming back down, and we need to find some place, like, not those who are addicted to drugs that voluntary or are sent to the rehab. A place for those people who are sentenced by the court for drug use, that we won't have to send them, they won't want to go to Verdon House, but if it's that such is the case, we have some place to send them, rather than sending them to prison, where they now become full-time prisoners and recidivists. So we really need to go there. And it's like, it's so sad this morning. Everything seems so gloomy and dismal, and it's like, what happens next? Now, my sister, she has two grandchildren, a four-year-old and a seven-year-old at St. Albans School. And yesterday when I heard it, I called down there. And I couldn't get anybody on the phone, and I started to get anxious. But when I did get through to them, my sister told me that, unfortunately or fortunately, their mother was late getting back from dropping off another little one to school. Now, I mean, that's selfish of me, because there's so many children who would have witnessed this thing. But it's really worse than bad enough. And what can you do about it? The police and the attorney general, they are not out there handing out these guns and these ammunition and saying, go there and stop shooting. So stop blaming them and asking them, what are they going to do?
Okay. I think so that one of the major issues that we need to confront is that if you take guns out of the picture and the thinking remains the same, they will find another weapon. So what you got to concentrate on as a country is, what is going wrong with the way that we are bringing up some of our children in this country? There are children who have had guidance. They've been fortunate enough to have at least one parent who is able to you know, point out to them what's good, what's bad. One of the things I find, I was at the supermarket just the other day, and I heard this young lady speaking to her child. The child had gone closer to the door and she was calling him. And the first thing she said to him when he came, she wanted to know whether he wanted a lash. She didn't ask him whether he wanted some love. And this is typical. This is how she was brought up. This is how we have all been brought up in this country, where the first action, the first thing that comes out of somebody's mouth, especially your mother, is whether you want a lash. All right? Yeah. And this, as far as I'm concerned, is the number one issue that we need to address in our homes.
But
that if you continue in this vein, you are going to create more people who believe that the solution to the problem
is
to beat people and to shoot people and to cut up people and all of that. So the failure begins there. And I want you all, I hear all this talk that comes from the National Organization of Women and that sort of thing. But the focus, while there is merit in looking at some of what they are focusing on, they are not doing enough to sensitize women in this country to this whole issue of how we are bringing our children up. And then these same women end up paying a very high price. I'll say this. No man brings a child into this world. The connection between a mother and child is something that I, as a man, will never, ever be able to understand and appreciate, because my connection is different. It is love, yes. But the love between mother and child is something special, extra special. And in all of this discussion, I find this to be the missing element. We want the government to solve every problem. We want the police to solve every problem. But we are not emphasizing enough that we have to change the way that we actually relate to our children in this country. Men have to do the same thing. I mean, there are many men who don't know how to communicate with their children. When you get the children to take them out somewhere, you take them to Chefette, let them run up and down the play park or whatever, or take them onto a pasture and roll a car or something like that. But the issues associated with communicating and trying to get children to understand that they are loved. They are not to be beaten up by their parents. And this country needs to take stock of that. It is creating more of a problem than many people want to admit. But it is convenient to look at other things because you don't want to address that. This is Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air? Welcome to the program. It's now 11:47. And as usual, you know, coming closer to the top of the hour, we will have the regional roundup. Let's hear what's been happening in the rest of the Caribbean. And then after that, we will get a glimpse of what's coming in the news at 12:30 today. Hello?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
How do you do?
I'm okay.
Okay, then. I'm glad. Now, I want to help you with Tall Boy. This is just a quick aside in a jovial vein. When you were saying about money should be channeled to more charitable causes, anything, you could have sent me news this one too. You don't go and throw water in the sea. Right, you see, that's the one you want. Okay, all right. I want to touch on a comment made by a gentleman just a short while ago. And I've been relentless and consistent, vehement about this call equally. When they're speaking about the integrity and what and this bill, the gentleman just highlighted, if there's anything that I would endorse coming from him, if only this I will endorse this one. When he spoke about the lawyers, if they'll bring a situation to the lawyer holding money, etc. You remember that call?
Yeah.
A clarion call. I've been on that relentless and repeatedly. Now, if you're going to talk with any emphasis about integrity, that is an area that needs to be sorted and sorted expeditiously. So I'll support him 1,000% in that regard. A solid call. If you can have that in place, we can start to see some integrity really changing or coming about. There are myriad of cases with this concern about lawyers and properties sold and can't get the money. And we've had lawyers who have been disbarred and put on all sort of disciplinary situation. Coupled with that, we need to have judges write judgment, etc. too. Are they all in sync? The comment goes in sync with one another. It is a concern. If you're talking integrity, start at that juncture and really apply it for what it is worth. So his call is a serious call this morning. Now, we'll watch and see if that will happen. I've been calling for an independent body to investigate lawyers. I will go all back to the days of Sir Frederick saying they call him a lawyer basher. But listen to what that gentleman just would have said, or the lady. Now, what you would want me to come and say, and I will come forward, there's so many cases. And it is a serious concern. So if you can talk integrity, start there. and let the society be satisfied that something is done in that regard. It is too pronounced.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
I'm listening.
Hello? Yeah. Now, quickly, in the case of Mr. Donovan Ennis being found guilty, pray tell me if the defense lawyer or lawyers haven't placed a proper defense or defense at all. There's only one question I want to ask. What would you appeal on? What would you appeal on? It is the million-dollar question has to be answered this morning. What would you appeal on? You're not offering the defense. You figure that the prosecution case is airtight. What are you going to appeal on to waste time and extend the thing? It's foolhardy to think you're going to appeal.
But well, I suppose, there will be those who would assess the degree to which the defense lawyers, because I think he had two, the one he changed from one to the next, and certainly they would assess whether they followed the right strategy in trying to protect their client's interests. At the end of the day, lawyers consult with clients, and clients determine, based on the advice that they have been given, whether they want to proceed with a matter or not.
Let me respond to that. You would have done that initially. You're not going to wait till a judgment is passed. A verdict is arrived at. Then to talk about anything relative to the defense. You're putting all the defense up to save the person from being convicted. What were you going to try to tell me is that you're this and that. It is when your chance comes, you put up your defense rigid, solid, and let us go. You can't come after a person is found guilty now to say, well, the defense is to be before. Try not to let them be found guilty.
Okay, thank you very much. This is Down to Brass Tacks.